answered my prayer. He's going to be here.
Amen.
He's going to show you something.
Amen. Well, it's good to see Pastor Lawson back. Amen.
Amen. Thank the Lord.
Sometimes a man of God, when he's given a calling on his life to pastor a flock, he gives out and he gives out and he gives out until physically he's give out and his spiritual battery begins to get a little low. And it's important for him to have an opportunity just to get off and under it for a little while and let God get a hold of him and energize him again. Now, those of you that are patriarchs over your family, when God gives you a wife, he also gives you a calling. And as your family grows and it grows and it grows, the pressures and responsibilities get greater. And so I want you to understand this morning, if you're young or you're old, if you're a patriarch or on the way to becoming one, just like Pastor Lawson, we all need a time of refreshing. Pastor, I hope God filled your battery to overflowing, because I need it sometimes. I need it all the time. Now, I'm going to be honest with you this morning. When Pastor Lawson asked me a couple of Wednesdays ago if I would preach on Sunday morning, I thought, yes, sir, I'll be glad to. And so in the days to come, I'd go out to my study, and at the end of the day, and for some reason I just was so tired, Brother Lawson, I'd fall asleep while I was trying to talk to the Lord and get something from the Lord. That went on day after day after day after day. And I go in, I tell my wife, I said, honey, I don't know what's wrong. I said, I just feel exhausted. And then along about Thursday, it seemed like we were getting a breakthrough on it. It seemed like things were coming together for the message. And I take it serious when you have to stand and give a message to God's people. And so I thought, all right, it's here, it's here, it's here. And Brother Lawson, you ran track, you ran the hurdles just like I did. I got my block set. Got them where they felt comfortable. Got in position. All I was waiting for is for the gun to go off. And I was ready to take off and run with what God gave me. You know what happened? I went back in my study last night. About 7:30, I believe it was, wasn't it, honey? And I never came out of it. All night. I wrestled with it, and I wrestled with it, and I wrestled with it. And I'm going to be honest to you, when I came here this morning, it was like I was looking through a fog, a haze. It just couldn't even seem to physically see clear. And then I heard Sister Shannon stand up, and she's been through a few things like we all have in life. And Sister Shannon, I believe with all my heart, God gave me an okay to preach a message that was on my heart now. I'm okay with it. If you have your Bibles this morning, I ask you to please go to the 90th Psalm. And if it's all right with you, we'll read the whole thing, because there's a lot in it for those of us that are trying to live for God and have lived a while for God and been through a few things. And if we'll look at it, we can get something that'll help us. 90th Psalm, beginning at verse number 1. And the Bible says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from the everlasting to everlasting thou art God. Now Moses said a mouthful right there. You could stay there a while.
Amen.
He goes on and said, thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, return ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past. And as a watch in the night thou carriest them away, as with a flood, they are as asleep in the morning, they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, in the evening it is cut down and withered. We're going to talk about what's going on through Moses' mind a little bit here in just a moment. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by the wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee. Our secret sins is in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Now watch this right here. Verse number 10. Moses, the man of God, says the days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. And this is where God landed me to bring the message this morning. Moses, the man of God, after praying all these things to the Lord, says this. So teach us to number our days. Why? That we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And let us pray. Father, I bow my head in your presence this morning. God, it's been a strange week, Lord. God, I believe with all my heart that there's a lot of folk that's going through things in this church, Lord, and they maybe have got a little tired, maybe a little confused, maybe a little wore out, and they're wondering why the things are going on in their lives. God, I pray this morning that you'll take your word, that you'll bind up the evil one, that you'll put a protective hedge about the hearts and minds and souls of every person here this morning, and God, that you'll help your people. We would see you lifted high and glorified this morning. And we ask it in Jesus' precious, holy, righteous, sweet name. And for his honor, we ask it, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to quit blubbering here in a minute and try to preach. It's the Lord's help. Now, if you look at the 90th Psalm, as far as I know, it's the only psalm in the Bible that's accredited to the man of God, Moses. Only one. There's not another one that I found anywhere in this book that is accredited to him. And it's a book written by a man that's lived a long life. He's lived a life that has been under the guidance of God and the direction of God and with the responsibilities of what God's called him to do. And he's nearing the end of that life. The closer he gets back to the promised land, the more he knows his time is running short. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I got to give you a little history. Y'all like history? I love it. I majored and minored in it, but I got to give you a little history to let you understand what's going on here. Moses didn't have an easy life. No, it's far from that. Moses was born a Hebrew slave. Being born a slave is bad enough, right? But not only was he born a Hebrew slave, but he was born a Hebrew slave under the sentence of death. A Pharaoh had come into Egypt that knew not Joseph, and because the children of Israel were beginning to be blessed so much by God, he made a commandment that every male child 2 years and over was to be put into the Nile River and drowned by the midwives. Sounds don't sound to me like it's too easy a life right now, does it? But God, in His providence and under His protection and because of the love of His mother, arranges for Moses to be raised up in Pharaoh's house, a place of favor, best food, best education, best everything. But at the age of 40 years, Moses goes down and sees an Egyptian taskmaster beating one of his kindred. And Moses killed him. Life's not looking so easy and simple right now, is it? No. And so he has to flee Egypt to save his life, and he ends up in a place called Midian in a desert that's dry and dusty and dark. And he goes from the palace to the pasture. He becomes a shepherd because God had designed his life and was fixing to use him for something. And for 40 years, he went from the top to seemingly to the bottom. Amen. And then at 80 years, Moses looks up on the mountain. He looks up on the mountain, he sees a burning bush. And he looks at that burning bush out of curiosity, and he noticed something in a little while. He noticed that it's still burning and it's not consumed. And in his curiosity, he sets his sight and climbs the mountain of God. And that's exactly what he finds at the mountain of God. God tells him, Moses, you're on holy ground. Moses, take off your shoes. And then he tells Moses to do something that must have blown Moses' mind. He said, Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt. Now, Moses is on the run, scared a little bit with it. Back to where you started and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Well, Moses argued with him with that a little bit. You preachers, remember when God called you to preach and you gave him all these reasons why you couldn't, and after you all finally worked it out, you obeyed God, and God put you in the pulpit, and God has kept you there ever since. Well, Moses did the same thing. Now, it's going to get a little bit worse as it goes before it gets better. Moses goes back to Egypt, and under the power of God, he preaches to Moses. God does his work. Moses, through the power of God, leads the children of Israel out of Egypt and heads for the promised land. Amen. Looks like things are looking up, don't it? Woo! Moses said, all right, finally I'm out of this place and headed to where God's prepared for us. But you know what happened? Moses now has somewhere upwards of about 660,000 men and families to take along the way. And guess what they do? From the get-go, almost from the start, these people that God has sent a man, designed a man's life, prepared him for it, and sends him to bring them out, the first thing they begin to do is to murmur and complain against not only God, but Moses. Moses probably thinking he might have been better off to just stayed where he was. Amen? Moses' life ain't easy yet, is it? Isn't that strange? You know what takes place next? As he leads them toward the promised land, God performs miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle as he provides for those people that he's called out of bondage, hand-grooved a man since he was a child to do the job that he called him to lead them out. And guess what happens? They complained, they complained, they complained. And not only that, but God calls Moses up onto the mountain to give him the Ten Commandments. And in the short period of time that Moses is up on the mountain, guess what those people do? They fall back into idolatry. They backslide on a God that's parted the Red Sea, that's fed them miraculously, that's kept them safe all the way through it. And Moses comes down. Moses gets pretty upset with this one. Pastor, I'm not talking about 200 or 300 people. He's pastoring here. That's a job in itself. I'm talking about hundreds of thousands of people with different personalities. They're complaining. They're not happy. They're not satisfied. They're not obedient. They're not appreciative. And they're not set in their hearts to follow God. Boy, I'll tell you what, I've pastored a lot of them. I have. I don't make any difference what God did, what he said, where he turned, how he directed, what he done for him. There's always somebody in the house of God that's not satisfied. You say, Brother Tom, are you going to preach? Well, I'm going to in a minute. I've got to get to where I can. All right. God gets angry with them and he kills some of them. Then he has Moses lift up a serpent, which is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, tells them to look toward it and that they can have life. Well, you'd think they learned their lesson, right? Moses' life's finally going to get easier. Didn't happen. Moses leads them right up to the borders of that promised land flowing with milk and honey. Right up to where they can look over into it. Right up to where they can see it. Right up where they can remember that God has kept his word and did what he said he would do. Well, you think they entered in? Moses sends 12 spies. They go over and find, it's just exactly what God said it was. I mean, it's got everything that they need. Everything that they've ever hoped for while they were in bondage in Egypt. You know what happens? They come back, 12 of them. Two believe God's word. Two believe God's will. Two believed that God was going to do exactly what he said he could do. And 10 said they're like giants in their eyes. Had no faith in God. Well, God sees they're not ready. He has Moses. Now this man of God that's been exactly where he's supposed to be during all this time doing what he was called to do, now has to lead them off into the desert where for 40 years every male of 21 years and up that was of the age to be able to fight and entered into that promised land had to die off. Whew. Sound like Moses' life is easy? How many thinks it is? Show me a hand. Would you want that? Would you want that assignment? Don't sound like it's easy, does it? Now listen to me. We're going somewhere with this. I really believe we are. And so Moses, for 40 years, leads a people that's rebelled against God. And every single day of that journey, if you do the math on it, 660,000 people, and you do the division on how many years there possibly could have been somewhere around 45 to 46 funerals a day. If you've ever done a funeral, it's not easy. Do you think that was easy on Moses? It's quiet here, isn't it? All right. And so they come full swing. traveling day after day, looking and seeing as that generation is coming to an end so that the new generation can enter into the promised land. And every step of that way, Moses knows that his life, his time on this earth, is getting shorter. Sound easy? Now, I'm going to tell you something. Life here on this earth ain't easy. Life on this earth sometimes seems hard. Life on this earth is full sometimes of what seems to us trials, troubles, tribulations, problems, heartache, separation. Life isn't easy. And you would think maybe Moses, like some of us do, would say, God, why me? God, you've not been fair with me. God, why did you allow this to happen to me when I'm yours and for all these years I've served you doing what you called me to do? You ever been there where you said, why me? Can I tell you something tonight, this morning, before I finish this sermon? I was called to preach the Word of God. That's a privilege. But it can also be a burden. It's not always easy. I stand before you. Can I be honest with you this morning? I stand before you, certainly not a super saint of God. No, I'm far from it. That's my family. But Lawson, I was in my study and I heard some kids fussing. I come out of there faster than I ever run the 40-yard dash. Brother Roger, my eyes, when I arch this eyebrow, it means you were in trouble. I left nobody unscathed between that study and that front porch where everybody's sitting on deciding they'd have a good old-fashioned argument. Did you give them a law and then son? Then son. I'll be honest with you. I'm not perfect. I fight the same battles you do every day. So does every preacher. I have moments of mountaintop experiences, and I find times I'm climbing through the valley, climbing through the valley, climbing through the valley until I can get out of it and get to the mountaintop. Now, Moses could have been bitter. Moses could have turned around and made accusation against God. But you know what Moses said? He said, teach us to number our days so we may apply our hearts to wisdom. In other words, he said, Lord, I've traveled with you a long time now. God, I've realized during this past 40 years that my days are getting shorter. And God, they've not always been easy as I've served you. But he says this in his heart. He says this in his heart. He says, I can't do anything about the days in the past, but the days I have left, I want to dedicate them and remember that every single one of those days came from you, and I want to be able to finish this thing glorifying your name. How about y'all? Amen. Brother Tom, has your life been easy? Well, heck no. Has there been valleys? Bunches of them. But for every valley, every low point, every little ditch, every little bump, every little stump toe, every broke ankle, everywhere through it, God's been with me. and every one of them, because I trusted in him and I loved him and I wanted to please him. Every single one of them led out of the valley to a mountaintop experience with God. Moses had problems. He saw God part the Red Sea though. He saw him stand and say, Moses, lift that rod, and it went over on dry ground. He saw the fire leading and the column going before him. He saw God's provision every way. Amen. He saw God break rod or come out of a rock. Amen. And when they decided that he wasn't feeding them good enough, they saw him give him some angel food come down from heaven. No, by the way, they got tired of that too. You see, Moses had so many good things in his life. So many more good things in his life because of the time he spent with God, that he decided he'd number his days and he'd go ahead and finish giving God what he's got. Now, folks, I've wasted some days God's given me, amen? I dare say you have too. Can't do a thing about it. I've served him during those days. Those were the good days when I could glorify him no matter what happened. But I want you to understand something. You and I were created by God who needed nothing. Nothing. Tell me something God needs. Before anything was, God was there. God didn't need time. When God created time, it was for you and me because he loved us so much. He wants to have time, not just here, but for eternity, to love him and let him love us and love him back. Amen. You think time means anything to God? The only reason time means anything is it's time, Brother Lawson, for him to love on us and allow us to love him back. Don't need nothing. Time's not important. He can live in time present, time past, time future, all at one time, or no time at all. No. But he loved you and me, yes, sir, so much that he created the time. Does that blow your mind that the God who needs nothing only desires one thing? What is that? Brother Sam? Some reason he desires to spend time with you and me. Amen. For eternity. That may not do nothing to you. That may not help you one bit, but for me, when I think of a God that needs nothing, that made everything, that can have anything he wants, but he desires only one thing, and that is that he loves us, and we willfully, because we love him back. A lot of people live life sometimes because of the problems that we're facing and the problems that we're going through, wondering, is life worth it? There was an old rock and roll song back when I was young. I hope none of you heard it. But it said this. It said that the thrill of life, that we've lived long past the thrill of life, the time that we enjoy it. But can I ask you something? If you live loving God today, no matter what's going on, isn't that worth it? Isn't life worth it? Do you realize that to give you the life that you have now for eternity, that God came, took on a body of flesh, was spit on, rebuked, beaten, hung on the cross with our sins on it, when he knew no sin, went into the tomb, died, arose again, came out of that tomb, went to heaven and sat down at the right hand of God the Father, to make intercession for you and me when we mess up and complain and grumble and wonder whether life's worth it? And it cost him everything to give you this life that you live. Let me ask you a question this morning. I ask a lot of questions sometimes. How much of your life have you given back to him? How much? How much of your life have you dedicated to bringing joy to him and being about his work and loving on him and bragging on him and praising him and glorifying him and looking to him and telling him that you love him more than anything else in your life? Or anything that causes a problem in your life.
That's right.
Say, Brother Tom, are you angry? No. No. I have just, through the years, watched so many people that God gave so much to purchase their lives that complained about the life they have or forgot the one that gave them that life. Now there's some, I'm a person of numbers. I like numbers. I don't know why. I can't tell you people's names or my phone number half the time, but I can tell you my driver's license number, social security number, all kinds of numbers. Do you realize, according to Moses, he's pretty close. Moses says we have 70 years. And if by strength 10 more. Well, he knew what he was talking about. He was pretty close for back then, wasn't he? But according to statistics today, the average male lives to be 75 and a half years old. Now, you do the math on that. You add it up, multiply it. That comes to 28,000 days. Boy, it seems like a lot of days, don't it? Well, you sail on a while. The older you get, the more you realize the shortness and the brevity of life here. So this end of this month, if God gives me till April 30th, I will have lived 71 years. Now, if you do the math on that, and I did, I've lived 25,915 days. Now, here's a kind of wishy-washy part on it. You subtract that from 28,000 days, and this man standing before you telling you how precious life is and how beautiful God is to have given it to us, now has, if statistics are right, 2,085 days left to live. Where'd it go, Brother Lawson? We started out, it seemed like it was so long. Our time's running out. Now, I don't know how much time I've got left. Do you? I'm already a year past what Moses thought was considered fair. Amen? Already past it. But I don't know what tomorrow holds. But I want you to know one thing. I love him. He's been good to me. He's blessed me beyond hope and measure I could ever dream of. And every second, Sister Shannon, of every minute, of every hour, of every day, every month, week, and year that I have left, I want to love on him, and I want to live my life and not waste a single second of it. Amen. He's a good God.
And we ought to appreciate what he's done for us. Amen. Now, I know this ain't a shouting message, maybe. I'm sure maybe some people say, well, Brother Tom, you've preached a lot more exciting message at times. But if you'll chew on this a while, if you'll think about, maybe we need to do the math. You're young, Brother Sam. Lucas, you're young. You got a lot of years ahead of you. Brother Lawson, it blessed me when I look, my wife comes out on the porch and hands me her phone, says, look at this, and you're preaching out on the streets. I thought, boy, I wish I'd have done that at that age. I wish I hadn't let the devil steal all those years. I wish I'd have started giving him my time back then. Why, did you get excited? Absolutely. But it don't make any difference how many days you got. It's that you appreciate them and you give them to the Lord. And you'll find out those days will be well spent in God. So what we do is, Moses' life easy? Nah. No, it was pretty rough. Did everybody behave the way you're supposed to? Nah. They ain't gonna. Did everything go the way he thought it should? No. Did Moses get everything that he thought he probably deserved? No, and I'm glad I don't get what I deserve. But he did see some wonderful things while he walked with God. God walked every step with him. God gave him everything he needed. And I believe this. I believe he does the same thing for you and me. And I'm looking forward now. I want you to listen to me. There's going to come a day, maybe you that outlive me, they're going to say, you, Tom Berry is in the grave. Don't you dare believe it. Some people try to tell you he's asleep. Don't you believe that either. The moment I close my eyes in death because I put my faith in him and because he loved me, the Bible says to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Amen. So instead of looking down in that tomb and saying, well, there ain't Tom Berry, you look up and say, he's up there and he wouldn't come back here for a better while. I'm confident of that. Brother Lawson, you quote, for to me to live is Christ, and for me to die is gain.
That's right.
That means you can have fellowship with here, loving on him and getting love back to him, or you leave here, you're just right in his presence for the rest of eternity.
Amen.
Life ain't so hard when you measure it against that, is it?
No.
So I'm asking you something this morning. Do you love life, or are you enduring it? Are you wasting life because you feel like a victim? Or are you enjoying life because he's in it? Now, I know it's rough. I know it's rough. Just Shannon, I pray for you all the time. I remember when you was younger and Barry had more hair and you blessed me sideways with singing. Guess what? He just did one more time. God's good to us. Amen. All right, now I'm going to pray with you, and I'm going to close. And then our pastor's going to come up and close it out how he sees fit. But listen, I'm glad he gave you a few more days. And I hope they're long and full of the joys of the Lord. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, sometimes we don't realize, God, we're human. We see the troubles, the trials, the heartaches, the problems. It seems like sometimes they go on forever. And God, sometimes we just kind of give up. And we decide we're tired of living. But God, as long as you're alive, I'm going to live. And I want to love you on this side and that side. And I pray the same thing for these dear people. Now, God, speak, help us, only you can do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.